is Pentecost. Today marks the completion of our 50 days of Easter, the birthday of the Catholic Church. Today marks the day when two more of our parishioners, Anthony and Lisa, who are sitting right here before me, will complete their full initiation into the Catholic Church, receiving the sacrament of confirmation. No better day to receive that sacrament than Pentecost. And today marks the completion of this beautiful month of May, the month of Mary. And normally on this 31st of May, we celebrate her visitation to Elizabeth, her cousin. But instead today, we celebrate the visit of Mary's spouse, the Holy Spirit, upon each one of us. There's a lot going on today. And we can say, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia. There's a lot going on as well in our country. There's not much Alleluias there. And while there's many other words we could use to describe what we're witnessing, the word that comes to my mind as I reflect on this past week is schizophrenic. Just this past week, together with you, I saluted and celebrated the witness of greatness. The greatness of humanity. Men and women who we remembered on Memorial Day. That was just this past Monday. We remembered them. People who lived for something. People who died for something. And as often as we hear the word hero, I think a lot of those people were saints. And just yesterday, together with you, most likely, I certainly witnessed a remarkable achievement of humanity. As SpaceX and NASA combined, and a rocket was launched with a capsule on top of it with two human beings. And now there are thousands, or however many miles away from us, orbiting the Earth. They said yesterday that every second mattered. Every screw, every nail on that contraption made a difference. I mean, you talk about greatness. Only human beings can do such a thing. And we do it. We did it. Then, schizophrenic, but in looking at what is humanity and the humanity of the world even 3,000 years ago, he said, oh, how fearfully, how wonderfully we are made. He wrote that. You can read that. It's a beautiful psalm, Psalm 139. And how true. And my friends, on this Pentecost Sunday, it is that making of humanity which we call to mind. Because this Feast of Pentecost is all about that making, or more specifically, the remaking. That we need a remaking, a redeeming, a restoring. There's no doubt. And if you doubt it, you know, I'm sorry for you. As great as Elon Musk is, he doesn't believe in God. I'm sorry for him. The human race, you and I, as men and women, and every one of us, no matter who, are in need of a redemption. You see, all of us were made in the image and likeness of God. And we lost that likeness. We lost it. Many, many years ago, Adam and Eve bought into that original lie of Satan that they were not like God. And they became slaves of jealousy and fear, of anxiety. And that has produced countless sin up and down the ages. So much hate, so many wars, it produced death, and it still does. And what was God's response? He didn't hit reset. He didn't say, "The heck with them, enough of this." As much as he hated sin, the rejection of his love, he loved humanity all the more. And right away, after that first sin, he made a beautiful promise to redeem us. And despite all the obstacles that would be put up and in the way, he did it. He's God. He redeemed humanity. He was faithful to his promise. And over the generations, so many generations, thousands of years, he prepared the way. And in the fullness of time, he sent his son, Jesus, who was one of us, a human being, the faithful son, who completed the mission and was faithful to the end. This is what we have celebrated over these past 50 days. This is what we have witnessed. One among us who loved perfectly. One among us who followed the Father totally. And so that the person of Jesus might not just historical figure like George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, so that he might be more than just an inspiring guy that we can, you know, look up to. God the Father sent his Spirit, and he breathed his Spirit, giving us the fullness of himself. So that wherever we are, whenever we are, so that the entire human race from beginning to the end may be one. I read an article this week. Why did the beginning, breathed on the waters. And guess what? On this Feast of Pentecost, he breathes anew upon all of us. And there is no better gift than that. And we are either familiar with that breath of God and living in that breath of God and receiving the promises of God, or we are not. So what's the call? What do we do on this Pentecost Sunday? What do we do on this beautiful day? Well, the word that stands out for me is the first verse of today's first reading. Joe read it, or Joseph read it. He said, they were in one place together. Isn't that beautiful? In one place together. Now, after quarantine, after being with your family for, I don't know, what's it been, 60 days, 70 days, you might not think that's so beautiful. It's hard. I didn't say easy, I said beautiful. Mary and the apostles were in one place together. Next week, as we slowly begin to regather in this place, my prayer is that being together may be very different. Having experienced these weeks of isolation and loneliness, having experienced our vulnerability and our brokenness, together, it may be very different. That it may be a place of deeper communion, more than just a gathering of human spirits together in this beautiful church. That it would be an encounter of God, the Holy Spirit, in this beautiful church. In our reactive, troubled, violent, and scattered, yes, I think, schizophrenic and fearful world, I'd suggest on this Pentecost that that's the first step. That's the first call. To be in one place together. Like Mary and the apostles. And how is that? Quite simply, in faith, in hope, in love, in obedience to God. My friends, now is the time for that very thing. And what a special time it is. It is Pentecost.